right now we're going to hear about an EU plenary vote which took place yesterday, which is pushing us towards carbon neutral buildings in this country by 2050. This is the start of a process. It is yet to go to the European Commission and the European Parliament. Before coming here this morning, I spoke to Sean Kelly, Irish MEP and Fine Gael MEP for Ireland South. And I first of all asked him about what this actually means for the average homeowner in this country with regards to what we'll have to do and what shape our buildings will have to be in by 2050.
Exactly. It's about making sure that we can meet our commitments in relation to net zero by 2050 and 55% of reduction of emissions by 2030. And one point that we have to bear in mind is that buildings are responsible for 36% of emissions. We often talk about agriculture in Ireland, but they rarely talk about buildings, and use 40% of our energy. And a lot of that is fossil fuels. So really this is about changing the dynamics to ensure that we move away from fossil fuels as far as possible and reduce emissions. So there are targets set there for member states to start doing it immediately, and also, of course, to facilitate it by having one-stop shops and regions, and also, of course, government grants, and very importantly, low-interest loans, possibly as low as 0%, so that those who want to retrofit their house will be in a position to do so without impacting greatly on their finances.
Is that all possible, Sean, or does this put a timeline or a deadline? We knew we had to get to carbon neutral by a certain date anyway across all sorts of procedures and interactions but ambitions. But what, is this going to mean everyone's going to have their building done by a certain date, no matter what the cost? Or what pressure will this put on people to get things done?
No, and this was one thing that I, as a rapporteur, took out of the proposal. There was an original proposal that everybody would have to do it by a certain date, and that there would be penalties if they didn't. That was crazy. So I got that out of it. There are no penalties. I said, but we wanted incentives. It will happen if people are encouraged to do so and facilitate it. But one thing is that the non-residential buildings, the buildings in public ownership, they will have to upgrade immediately some of their buildings. 15% is what we have said by 2027 of the worst performing buildings. And I think that's giving the lead an example of how it can be done. But that certainly is hugely important, because there's no point in putting burden on individuals, which was the intention originally. You have to give the incentive to individuals, make it easy for them to do so, give them the finances to make it worthwhile. Because one thing or other thing that we have to emphasize as well, that this is actually investment. Because once your house is far more efficient, then it's going to cost less in terms of the energy bills, be more comfortable and be healthier. That's where we're going to go. That's where it will be for all new builds. But over a period of time, the existing buildings will all be facilitated to do that. But they have to start by giving the example at a public service level by doing it for public buildings.
Sean, on that front, and as I mentioned, we have to go to the Council of Europe now and also the European Commission. You're talking there about you got one thing moved out which you felt was unachievable, the penalty clause. But what do you make then of the Italian Environment Minister's comments, Gilberto Pichetto? He's about to water down what he says are unattainable new energy efficiency rules for buildings after the Parliament approved this negotiating position.
There has been an awful lot of fake news going around about this file, EPPD. There were reports in the Italian press that they were going to be forced to retrofit 11 million buildings, which is totally and utterly illogical and inaccurate. And I think we have seen a lot of scaremongering. A lot of this is actually politically motivated, because it's looking at elections and they're just watching what crowd is doing, and then they're doing the opposite. So I think you have to take a lot of comments with a grain of salt. We have to look at what we have achieved. We are putting in place a sensible, practical way, but also looking at the realities, because we're going to review this again in 2027, particularly in relation to raw materials. Have we enough of them? And also in relation to skills. There'll have to be a huge job of work done and all of that. But without the EPPD, without we passing this yesterday, none of this would happen. Now it will happen, and it will ensure that we will actually be serious and sincere when we say that we want to save the planet for future generations by reducing emissions over a period of time to net zero by 2050.
Krishan, when you stack up, I suppose, the research that's coming out and more of it coming out today about our own situation in Ireland, that, you know, recommending that the Irish government need to be a lot more aggressive in the way they are pushing, you know, retrofitting of homes and looking after people who are, you know, fuel poverty and our energy poverty, that they're saying we're not going anywhere near far enough. But you have then, I suppose, resistance at European level when you're trying to get everyone to agree to move along at the same pace. It's very tricky, very complex, and it'll be hard to get everyone to agree to a united set of standards on this to get where we are told by our scientists that we need to get to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Terry. And in fairness to the Irish government, and I would have been very critical in the past, because basically they ignored our commitments in relation to 2020 or did very little about it. But now there has been a sea change, and I'd often be critical of Eamon Ryan. But in this regard, I'd have to give him praise, because he has put in place grants, etc., that are needed. They'll probably have to give more grants so that people will be more incentivized to do it. And as I said, they will have to put in place the one-stop shop where people can go and get accurate information of what is available, what they need to do, and how they're going to do it. And I think, in fairness to the Irish government, they're given the lead in that. But the rest of the Europe will have to do the same now, because once this becomes a directive, then they have to basically toe the line. That's what it's about, because each of these people are all talking. They agree with Fit for 55. They agree with net zero by 2050. But when it comes to do anything about it, they say, oh, no, we can't do that. So that's a contradiction. You cannot have that situation. And that's why a directive of this nature is so important, and why I'm very pleased with the Irish government. And indeed, I'm very pleased also, Jerry, to say, maybe for the first time, I haven't the facts, but all Irish MEPs, and we're a diverse group, all voted in favour of this yesterday, which was very encouraging for me as a rapporteur to see that happening.
Yeah, do we need so to see other countries perhaps maybe stop playing politics with this issue and playing to their own galleries in relation to it?
You're absolutely right. That's exactly what's going on. And some of their friends in the media making exaggerated claims. It happened in Germany, it happened in Italy in the lead up to the vote, because they were hoping that people would vote it down. But thankfully, over two-thirds of the MEPs voted in favour. They'll have to stop the messing and the political gamesmanship and get real and help citizens. And it's about, as I said, not penalties, because I took them out of it. It's about incentives. If people are given the incentives, if people are given the tools...
More carrot than stick is the way to go.
Yes, there's no need for a stick here other than for the member states. And that's, to see, was one of the things as well. They didn't want to be compelled at member state level. They wanted to be able to do what they like to. I mean, you've seen in several instances where, just take the likes of Viktor Orban in Hungary. They don't like anything that in Europe that compels them to do anything, but they love getting the money so they can do what they like with it. So, I mean, they have a responsibility. Now they're going to have to live up to it. And thankfully, the Irish government is absolutely in line with that.
Final point, John, on our own political level, we still have people in our own parliament who are objecting to what, I suppose, they call it the Green Party, but it's the coalition government that are bringing in the climate action plan. They're saying it's unreasonable. They're saying it costs too much money. It's weighted too much on the wealthy. What would you say to those who are saying that what's trying to be done across transport, across housing, is just not feasible and will affect too many people's livelihoods?
Oh, yeah, I would agree with him to a certain degree, certainly on some issues. I mean, there are some issues where I think we are pushing far too hard and it's not realistic. I've spoken to you several times about our attitude, for instance, to energy and the energy security of the country. I'm very concerned about that. But in this regard, in relation to the building and the retrofitting of buildings, I think we are moving in the right direction. And I hope that the same sense of practicality can prevail in other areas as well, because if you push too fast and too hard, you lose people. And you must bring people with you on this debate and on this journey, not absolutely forcing them to do things that are not achievable.
Yeah. Sean, do we have the builders to all of this? The plumbers, the electricians, the insulators to get all this done? You can't find a craftsperson, be it a plumber, electrician or whatever, for love nor money at the moment.
Yeah, short answer, we don't at the minute. But that's why passing this legislation is so important, because one of the things we highlighted, and I have been saying it for a long time, we don't have the skills necessary, and this year has been designated as a result of the European Year of Skills they're going to look at this now, what is available, what's not available, and how they can help by bringing in measures to make it happen so that we will have the resources to do so by the time that this file will have reached its, the end of its life and reached its targets. So you're right, that's a big challenge, but if we didn't pass this yesterday, nothing would happen. Now we can face up to those issues that, that you right, quite rightly point out, Jerry, that in terms of skills, in terms of resources, a lot has to happen, and we better start moving on in the right direction pretty quickly, and that's both sides of it.
Okay. All right, Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million for talking to us about that this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you very much,
Ireland MEP Sean Kelly. What do you make of what he had to say there? A new package of regulations approved by politicians in Europe. They've been approved by member states. They have to be approved, I should say, by member states before becoming law. But if passed, they'll place more emphasis on upgrading the least efficient buildings. All buildings, a minimum rating of E by 2030, D by 2033, with a long-term goal of renovating all to zero emission standards by 2050. It's a tall order, a lot of politics to be played yet. Will it give us your views on that? We'll have more on the way.